Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Hey, yay for me. My wooer is back. Ooh, I can at least kind of, sort of, no, you can't, Friel. This is Wretched Radio. What's on your mind? Text it. You know, just like we do with everything else. I've actually gotten to the point where my phone rings and I'm almost like, why are you calling? We don't call. That's just not what it's like I'm being assaulted or offended because somebody actually uses the device for what it was originally intended. You can use your device to text whatever is on your mind, 877-282-2337.
All right, you know we're going to start with a correction.
That's fine by me, Jimmy. You need these corrections.
I do. Actually, I think this is a hit on me too because I didn't notice it. This is from Mark, Terry, and about three other people. On Monday's episode, in the introduction, Todd said he visited Daytona Beach, California. Last time I checked, that was in Florida.
Well, see, this is why I'm the talk show host.
That's what he said.
Because people just... they don't know the things that I do. See, originally, you don't know this, but I do. I'm just telling you, there's a town somewhere in California. It was originally titled Daytona Beach, California. And that's where I wasn't when I went. Okay, fine. I get the two confused because, you know, politically, they're so the same. Did you watch the debate between Governor DeSantis and Newsom? It was... that's been about a year. Well, it was before the election, and it was held right here in Alpharetta, Georgia. Nobody would disclose the location. It was kind of secretive. I watched that debate. I'm telling you, and I don't use this phrase often. Okay, so I won't use the phrase, but let's just see if we both arrive at the same conclusion. When somebody has an exceptional skill, I mean they are superlative at something nefarious, specifically lying. Who is that good at lying? I don't think humans can be that good at deception, where they just are able to say the exact opposite of reality. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. Well, this is Wretched. No, this is the Dennis Prager Show. It's just that bald-faced. It's just that and done smoothly. Like you're the knucklehead. That's what I saw on display. And it wasn't from Governor DeSantis. And I thought, wow, how can somebody be that good at deception? John 8? Anybody? Sorry about the goof up on Daytona. Didn't mean to offend anybody in Daytona Beach.
Well, I missed it too.
I almost said it again. Daytona Beach, Florida. Wow. I guess I need to visit more often to get that straightened out. 877-282-2337 with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. There's no need furthermore to send corrections.
And I'm not going to tear you down without building you back up, Todd. This is from Ricky. I just wanted to tell you how grateful I am for the teaching on Play the Man.
Oh, good.
I've listened to the entire teaching and will be listening to it again. It is by far the best teaching I have come across regarding lust.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is helping me so much.
You know, sin is an interesting subject that I think we would do well to just rethink through. Because, okay, let's just say you're a pastor and you're talking about sin, most likely your inclination is very similar to mine, and I'm sorry for that. You think of it in negative terms. And of course, sin is negative. I don't have that with me. I think the last 2 weeks at Alpha at a Bible Church, I shared a list of all of the descriptors of the Bible regarding sin. You know, that it deceives, it holds captive, it's just on, and it corrupts, it distorts, it deforms, all of the, it just bang, bang, bang. So it's really, 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 really bad. And we are right to talk about the deforming nature of sin. But simultaneously, to battle that sin, while I don't think that we should entirely throw out the concept that, hey, sin is bad and it grieves our God, obviously, because it does. But I think there's a positive to it that I don't hear expressed very often. Not sinning is so good for you. Not sinning is good for you. There's an upside to not sinning. Because if all we do is talk about the negative, then it's like, I'm going to just suppress this desire and I'm not going to act the way that I want to. So I'm not going to sin because that's a terrible thing to do. Okay, that is right. But there's more. When God tells us how to live, it is the best way. When he tells us how not to live, it is because that is not the best way. There is a better way. He wants good things for you. He wants bigger things, eternal things, transcendent things. He wants things that allow you to go, it's well with my soul. To do the things that distinguish you from other people, that cause others to look on you and go, you know what? That dude right there, that's a reliable fellow. I can go to him in my time of trouble. I can give an assignment to that gal, because she just gets it done. He wants those things for us. So let's look at sin, I think, in both lights. Not one, not the other, but both lights. It's very, very bad. Not committing it is very, very good. I'm glad Play the Man was helpful for you. That's really what it talks about that. But it also talks about the expulsive power of the new affection to have something greater to strive for than merely not sinning. It is the power that you need in order to exercise self-control. It's available for free. You can find it at fortisplus.org. Don't be deceived by the plus. Everything there is free. Everything. But Jimmy, I don't know if we mentioned this. Man, that warehouse got cleared out.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Death Valley in there.
Yep.
And hey, just if I could, been receiving some emails from people saying, well, what about the booklets? Like, Don't Stub Your Toe, Are You a Rotten Fish, etc. What are we going to do about those? Because people use those on the regs. And they're wondering, hey, can I get those anymore? And the answer is, you're wrong. Because we are going to do what we did with Play the Man. We're going to put it on a card with a QR code. It'll have a website address too, so that somebody can go and they can read it, they can hear it, and they can see it also. And we're going to give those cards away. So it's a good deal, is what I'm saying. With that deal, when we give away all those cards, because I suspect we'll be giving away hundreds of thousands, if not millions of those cards, you pay for postage to get them to your house, but we'll print up the cards. We'll provide them for free for you, because remember, everything at Fortis is now free. You can watch Play the Man also on the YouTube machine. I encourage you, share it with any dude. I don't know any men who view pornography. Do you know any men? There's a real good chance. You can find Play the Man at YouTube or at fortisplus.org.
All right, this is from Denisha. Todd, you've mentioned on the show before that you did not baby talk your kids or read them kids' Bible stories. Did you notice any benefits to that?
Yeah, I think so. I think every kid matures at a different level. But we had less whining and crying than I think average. I think that they also grew up a little bit faster. No, this isn't like super fertilizer that just, whoa, that would, but furthermore, it's also good for us. It is a reminder we're not raising children. We're raising adults. We want to rush them to adulthood. Who wrote this rule in 21st century culture? You know, you just got to let them be kids for as long as possible. Says who? I mean, 10 years isn't enough. 8 years. This is a society that is no longer agrarian. That's a fact. Because let me tell you something. You got a kid who can walk. He can pick up eggs. Maybe he can milk the cow. He's going to be doing something. Look, I get the sentiment. It's nice to see kids play. Not that we actually see kids play outside anymore. The point is, I understand. But we want to get them into maturity. We want to get them into adulthood. And for my money, not the boop, 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 boop. And my, maybe part of it too is that's just not really our nature. Is it Jimmy Wimmy?
Not me.
This is Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows? Is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No need to thank me. This is Wretched Radio. Gonna give you a big old gift. If you, when you do your TV time, you sit on the couch and you just flip, 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 flip. I find it to be beyond frustrating. So it's date night. We're going to sit on the couch in the basement. We got a TV tray set up. Yep. Like Archie and Edith Bunker with the TV trays. We get them set up. We got the food. And it's like, okay, your turn. And then we give the clicker to the other person. And they sit there and click. No, click. That's rated R. No, click rated R. No, that's PG-18. No, that's MA. That's click, 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 click. And then the person doesn't get to eat their food. So then they just pass over. We don't set a timer, but we have it sorted. We've cut a deal. And then the timer, the clicker gets passed to you. And now you don't get to eat for the next several minutes because you're just sitting there going click, 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 click. Drives me bonkers. Well, bonkers no more. Why? Fortis Plus can now be on your TV. If you've got, Jimmy, do you have the, hold on. I might have the list of it. Here we go. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google Play, Samsung, LG, and Vizio. We did it the other night.
Oh, you did? You figured it out.
I actually did. Oh. I got some help from Mrs. Friel. But we downloaded the app. All you need to do is give an address. And by the way, if you already have the app on your phone or on your desktop or laptop, you do need to create another account because it's TV. It's just a different platform. So sorry for that. But once you do it, Jimmy, there is so much. Oh, did you know we've been busy around here?
I've been watching.
Just amazing. Right. And we were watching Transformed. Hmm. Oh, I'm telling you, watching those two. There was infidelity on her part. There was porn watching on his part. And they're trying to get it sorted. It's Natalie and Guy. If you would like to watch some great TV and binge away for free, get the Fortis Plus app on your TV, and you do not need to thank me for that tip. Happy to provide it. Besides, it says I'm supposed to on this piece of paper. So 877-282-2337.
Fortis Plus. So easy, even talking
to it. It's like, wow, it kind of looks like the Netflix, but it's got so much stuff. I mean, there's thousands of hours up there.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, I'll be real honest with you. I couldn't watch that much Todd Friel. That would drive me nuts. So, question.
Do you remember doing all of it?
No.
Like, I did that? When did I do that?
You know, nobody believes this phenomenon. Neither did you, Jimmy. It took about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You just thought I was like a knucklehead, which that stands, but not for this reason. Literally, we do a lot here, and it's so easy to forget that you did something 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
This isn't the first steps. This has been going on for 20 years for me. And you were like, have we had Todd tested? And then about 3 weeks in, I would say, hey, Jimmy, did you do a news story on the Charlie Kirk shooting? I don't know. I don't remember. And you had. Yeah. Of course, but you don't remember. So congratulations. You've got the malady also.
That's right.
Congratulations. You know that Charlie Kirk thing? Hmm. Boy, I'm telling you. I know that I haven't. And I don't know that anybody that I've heard comment on the story has really been able to express why I think that this is such a big deal. It's a big deal. It's what it is.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason. He said, because Charlie was never ashamed of his Christian faith and his whatever his politics were informed by Christianity. He said, I don't believe it's a stretch to call this martyrdom. Maybe that's why. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, I recently began volunteering weekly at our church. At a volunteer training, one of the expectations outlined for us is to be an active member, which I am, and to give faithfully. We have not tithed for the last 2 years for personal marital reasons. What do you think about this? And do you consider giving of our time instead of money as an acceptable alternative?
Alternative No, it's not an alternative. It's an and. We should be giving it all. We should be giving everything that we can. Time is one. Talent is another. Treasure is a third. So it's not an either or. Now, having said that, we need to be Christian in this. And you go, well, yeah, of course we should be Christian. And the reason that I say that without any adjectives affixed to Christian, it's because I think that we've forgotten the liberating nature of our Christian faith. And that we are very, very quick. We find it very easy to create rules, formulas, and systems. Now, they're not necessarily wrong, but Christianity operates a little differently. This is why I do not believe a 10% tithe was commanded in the Old or the New Testament. The tithes, as we know them in the Old Testament, they were anywhere from 23 and a third all the way up to 27, 28%. And it was more for the running of the nation than it was an offering. That was forced. That was your taxes, basically. Then you gave from the heart. I think the same thing is reiterated in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. We give from the heart. He loves a joyful giver. So how much should you give of your treasure? As much as you want. And there could be seasons where you can't. This is also where we've got to be so careful that we don't make ironclad laws. If somebody actually does not have money to give, we shouldn't insist they give, especially to go in debt and pay interest on it, because that's not a gift. That's putting yourself in debt, and God doesn't like unmanaged debt. So we want to be careful that we encourage people to give of their time, talent, and treasure, but don't make a law. Okay, now to prove that what I'm describing for you is Christian, let's consider your talent, all right? Let's consider your talent. If you broke your, no, somebody at church that was, let's just say they were serving, they break their leg and they can't hobble around for 6 weeks. So they don't offer any of their talents for 6 weeks. Are they sinning? You'd go, well, no, of course not. They can't do it. Bingo. If you can't do it, God most certainly understands that. Now, if your heart uses that, like, oh, good, I don't have to do anything at church because I broke my leg. Well, that's not the right attitude. But if your desire is to serve, but in this moment you can't because of family dynamic, a sick child, some sort of catastrophe, don't feel under the law. Our giving of time, talent, and treasure is from the heart, and it's different. It's different for each of us. And it's different based on our seasons. So how do you determine how much to give, how much to spend, how much to do? The answer is you just do. You do. And it's going to change. It's going to morph. There are going to be some years. Okay, here's another good example. And this is the liberating nature of Christianity. Let's say you're in sales and you had a bang up year. I mean, the commissions, woo, they were huge. And because of your gratitude to Jesus Christ, you give first year local church more this year than last year. But next year, what if it turns out it wasn't as big? Do you have to give the same amount? And the answer is no, you don't. Would it be your, oh man, wish I had had that bonus because I'd love to give more to my church. I'd love to support other ministries more. That's a right feeling, but you shouldn't feel guilty about not being able to. Christianity, when Jesus said that he came to set us free, I think he meant it in more than just free from the power of sin, power of the devil, power of our flesh. I think Christianity is really liberating, and there's a great deal of liberty that he offers us in making these decisions. And nobody should tell you that you've got to do it a particular way. It is between you and the Lord. Should you seek wisdom? Of course you should. Should you read your Bible about it? Absolutely. Should you check your heart? Definitely. But if you are not able to, for whatever, whether it's time, talent, or treasure, okay, I'm sorry. This is just so important. And this is not to give license to laziness or to stinginess. But a couple has a baby. Turns out quadruplets. We're going to expect them to be spending 8 hours a week at church serving? Well, I hope not. We understand seasons. You would always do well to verify your decision to not give, to not spend, to not give of your time with other, just to make sure that your heart is in the right place and that you haven't missed something. But then as you make a decision, remember, in the giving department, there are no laws. You are free to give and do and serve based on how much you want to. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis Newsbreaker production of Fortis Institute. The battle for parental rights took a dark turn in Virginia, where a whistleblower exposed Centerville High School staff arranging secret abortions for Hispanic minors without parental consent, which, by the way, is required by state law. An ESL teacher, herself a Cuban immigrant, discovered a social worker was not only arranging but paying for these procedures. When the ESL teacher raised concerns 7 times to administrators, they responded by falsely accusing her of handing out pregnancy tests. Governor Youngkin has ordered a criminal investigation, but here's the real question. How many more schools are violating state law and ignoring parental rights while targeting vulnerable minority girls? Meanwhile, in Texas, the Department of Justice announced it will investigate Texas A&M after a student was kicked out of class for refusing to participate in transgender indoctrination. The children's literature professor, Dr. Melissa McCall, claimed her radical gender theory was biologically true. Apparently, the meaning of biology has changed since we learned about X and Y chromosomes. And when the student pointed out that this violated both President Trump's executive orders and religious beliefs, McCall threw him out, declaring she had legal and ethical authority in her classroom. The assistant attorney general called it deeply concerning, though parents might use a little stronger language for taxpayer-funded universities, forcing gender confusion on future teachers. Speaking of ideological battles, a Clinton-appointed federal judge just ruled that Hamtramck, Michigan's all-Muslim city council can constitutionally ban LGBT flags from city property. The city council voted only to allow the American flag, Michigan flag, and flags representing residents' international character, which conveniently means various Muslim nations. The judge claimed it's constitutional because they banned all private flags, apparently not noticing the massive loophole for foreign flags. And in Alberta, the premier, Danielle Smith, is showing American governors what real leadership looks like, promising to defend gun rights against the confiscation scheme that's been dragging on since 2020. Smith told municipalities that they cannot ban handguns and ordered the RCMP not to participate in seizures, with the amnesty deadline hitting October 30th. She's developing an Alberta firearms license to protect law-abiding citizens. President Trump just ordered HHS and FDA to ensure transparency in pharmaceutical advertising, with RFK Jr. backing the move to expose Big Pharma's $11 billion annual propaganda machine. After the FDA relaxed advertising rules in 97, we've been bombarded with happy people in meadows while speed reading death as a side effect. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Want to know what song is stuck in my head? No, Friel, we don't. Actually, I think you do. This is Wretched Radio. It was, I don't want to get into all the details because I can't remember them. I think it was John Kratz who said he was doing a presentation in the Fortis Studios. And he said something about the doxology. Do you know what the doxology is? It's to speak well, to praise God for who he is. It's an expression of praise. And he treated it like most people don't know it. And I thought everybody knew the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the doxology. And it's sung to a very catchy tune. We don't sing it very often, and we should, especially when you receive the type of news that I received. Somebody hit me in the back of the head. I have a tendency, perhaps you do too, to make a prayer request to God and to say, Lord, if you would be so kind to do this thing, we will praise you for that. And then he does that kind thing and you forget. Or I'll spend more time asking him to do something than I do thanking him for when he does the thing I was requesting. And so right now in my head, I'm trying not to commit that sin. Why? Because I've been praying for a buddy of mine. We went to college together, and I think 4 days ago, 5 days ago, his daughter had to call 911 because he had a seizure. Turns out that he had a mass in his brain. So they opened up his head, went in, took out the mass. And that was 2 days ago. And I just got a text. He's on his way home. And I've been talking to him. He's fine. Nothing. I mean, nothing. No side effect. You know, no physical, no speech. His brain is clear. And I have to remember to praise God for his answering to prayer as much as I petition him with requests for something that I would prefer. So let me publicly state on behalf of my friend, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jimmy, would you look and see, when was the doxology? Can you do the AI business and tell me when the doxology was written, okay, and how many centuries we've been singing that tune? It's one that we should know. It's one that our kids should know because it is a great way, and it's pretty pithy and it's catchy, to offer praise to God. Having said that, I am a little agitated at my friend. They removed part of his brain and he's still like 10 times smarter than I am. Man, that's agitating. He might not have been the smartest, but he was one of the smartest guys in our class. I'm telling you, he was smart. Part of his brain gets taken out. He's still smarter than I am. That stings. Jimmy, how old is the doxology?
Over 350 years.
That's it. Do we know who penned it?
Yes, Thomas Kyn in 1674.
Now, isn't that nice to sing something that has been around 350 years? Do you recall, I think it was, man, within the last month, I'm going to be using it in a sermon, I think, in 2 weeks at Alpharetta Bible. Melito of Sardis, 190 AD, on Pascha, P-A-S-C-H-A, on Paschal, on suffering. Do you remember that? It was glorious. And it was theologically robust, and it's 1800 years old. You mean the church has understood the very basics of the faith from the jump? Yes. And when we read things like that or sing things like the doxology, we're joining a chorus that has been singing that song for centuries. And frankly, maybe they're even singing it in heaven. The doxology. Would you be so kind to send wretched things to idea@wretched.org. Would you also be kind enough when you feel so moved? That was dangerously close to being evangelical. Send a text, 877-282-2337.
This is a text.
Jimmy, do you know the doxology?
Yes.
Praise God from whom, amen. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just checking.
Okay. Right. I've got the lyrics right here.
I see.
All right, this is a text from Caroline. Mr. Friel, I am 11 years old.
Oh, awesome.
And I want to know when the time is right to give up rainbows, plushies, and the cute stuff.
So awesome. That's so awesome. But here's the bottom line. Talk to your folks about it. Because I don't want to offer an opinion different than mom and dad. So whatever they say, go with them. I will simply say, if you're thinking about it, then it's probably time. And let me present it to you in a positive way, Caroline, because you probably like that stuff. It's not sinful, so it's not wrong. You don't have to feel bad about it. But the fact that you're aware of it and willing to give up things that are for younger kids means you are going to advance faster and further. You're currently ahead of your peers because you're thinking these thoughts. So I say, well done. Salute to you. You're thinking about maturing. And the more you can do that, I say with a great deal of confidence, you will just do better in life. You'll succeed at whatever it is that you put your hands to. You will become more mature. You'll advance in godliness. So Caroline, well done. Perhaps now is the time to start jettisoning those things, putting childish things behind and embracing more mature things. If your parents agree. Otherwise, don't. Just pay no attention to the man behind the microphone. 87. What would you say, Jimmy? 11 years old?
Yeah, I think that's great that she's thinking about that already.
I do too.
Yeah.
I get. Now, please note, it's a hard issue too. So let's just say your bedroom is pretty in pink and it's got all of the aforementioned stuff that you're thinking about giving up. It doesn't mean that you have to tear it all out, go to the store and spend a fortune getting new. Doesn't mean that. You don't have to rush to do that and make it an expense that might be burdensome because it's about your heart. You're putting them behind in your heart, not just putting them away in the closet or putting them away at Salvation Army. It's your heart. You'll get that stuff cleaned up as you can. So don't feel like, well, if I'm got to turn the page, then everything's got to go. Once again, there's liberty in Christianity, and it's always about the heart. 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Kala and Todd. We have a question on whether drinking too much coffee can become sin. Some people get headaches if they don't drink it. Would that be considered an addiction if they can't function without it? Don't like that word addiction, but...
I get... Greg Gifford called.
He gets in my brain.
Libby Glosson said, I just got a text from her. Christians aren't addicted. I use the vernacular of the peasantry. I get it. That's just the way we talk as people. So don't care to always die on that hill. That's not true. I tend to die on pretty much every hill. And that actually is a problem because not every hill is worth dying on. The point is coffee. The question isn't how much you consume. The question is who's in control. The question is, who determines how many cups you have, coffee or you? Are you mastering your members? Do you have it under control? That is a question you need to ask. The second question you would need to ask is heart idle questions. Has this become something I need? Not just to kind of get up, but you need it. If I don't have my coffee in the morning, then I'm a bear the rest of the day. And it just ain't right until I have my cup of coffee, which is, they're both sentiments that I affirm heartily. But you got to check your heart on it. I've heard some people, they talk about coffee and they compare it, I think, sometimes to alcohol. I don't think that's a wise comparison because coffee, I get it. It can get you jingly. But it doesn't get you drunk. There's a difference in being excited by caffeine and becoming foolish because of too much alcohol. So I don't think that comparison is fair. And I don't think, now there might be health reasons that wisdom would indicate you should drink this much or that much, but I don't think anybody can make a rule to say this many cups because that's not what it's about. We have ourselves a theme here today. Liberty. Make a godly decision. Make sure you don't want idols in your life. You just, wherever you see them, you just want to knock them down because if you don't knock them down, they just get more and more powerful and you're going to serve them more and more. So make it a heart issue and decide. And I don't think you should let anybody tell you, you should only drink this many cups of coffee or you're sinning. Especially if they say 3 cups of coffee, because that's what I did in the morning. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Crotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a wrath-removing sacrifice. Jesus bore God's wrath on our behalf, and in return, we receive his righteous standing before God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, fine. I confess that was kind of a lie. Friel, it's either a lie or it's not. There's no kind of lie. This is Wretched Radio. Mention that I drink 3 cups of coffee today. And that is true in that I only put coffee into a cup 3 times. The size of the cup, I failed to disclose. Yeah. I think it's a little bigger than like a measuring cup. It's kind of a vat. I drink out of a dumpster with a handle is what I'm telling you first thing in the morning.
So an entire pot.
I have forgotten how much I enjoy coffee. I don't need it throughout the day as a rule. But in the morning, to be able to stumble downstairs, hit the brewer, and just talk about a convenience. King David didn't live this life. If King David had said, hey, servants, I need a cup of coffee. First of all, they'd say, what's a cup and what's coffee? then they would go, how am I supposed to do this? And whatever their brewing process would be, it wouldn't be nearly as good as what we currently have, nor would it be as efficient and fast. Push the button, bang, you get yourself a cup of coffee. What a time we live in. I'm telling you, we live better than every single king in antiquity. And coffee is another reminder of that, because I get it first thing in the morning. I get to put the right amount of things inside of it that I need. Then I throw it in the microwave to make it even hotter than it already is, because I've become my grandpa. My grandpa. When we would go out, every time it's like, here it comes, here it comes. The waitress would ask, she'd walk by with a pot. I'm thinking of Perkins, the pancake restaurant. That was kind of their go-to when they would take the grandkids. We'd go to Perkins and it was that gold pot. It was sort of insulated, but you know, it wasn't sealed quite the way that our stuff is today. And the waitress would walk by and it would happen every single time. Sir, would you like some more coffee? Is it hot coffee? I need hot coffee. And then if she poured it in and it actually was hot, which it rarely was, he'd bang his fist on the table and go, coffee. I become my grandfather, and it's going to happen to you too. 877-282-2337.
My grandfather, every time, inevitably, if we went out for breakfast somewhere, he would always order eggs, plate of eggs, scrambled. And before he ordered them scrambled, he would say, I want eggs. And the waitress, almost every time, how do you like them? Listen, lady, I really like them. Every time.
That's just... And he did it. Yeah. How many times?
Every time. All right.
If you're younger, you will become your parents and your grandparents. Here's an encouragement to you if you are younger. Become like them now. Let them be your role models for life. As many times as you think you've been around the block, I assure you they've been around it far more times. They have lived more adult years than you've lived the entirety of your life. Look to them. Model them. No, I'm not saying you have to go, it's coffee, but look at them to learn so that you can be like Caroline.
That's
asking,
right.
How is it time for me to advance out of childhood? 877, that's awesome. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, is the idea of a narcissistic personality biblical? I'm not too much of a fan on labels, but I've heard people labeled as narcissist, and I think I have a few in my life that might fit that description. But it seems to me like labeling is giving up on them as hard-hearted and unreachable.
It makes it a therapeutic issue, a mental health issue, because the DSM-5, pretty certain, has narcissistic personality disorder. Who is it that gets to determine when somebody is what we will call narcissistic? Define it. Because here's what I know about us. Our first propensity is us. You're in danger. Your inclination is to take care of you. And by the way, there's not necessarily something wrong with that. You want to clothe yourself and feed yourself, take care of yourself. That's not narcissism. That's just being a human. Now, narcissism, as it's defined today, though, is anybody who exhibits any sort of pattern of putting self first regularly. Now, Jimmy, would you just use your AI machine and ask it for the DSM-5 definition of narcissistic personality disorder?
Okay.
Here's what's come from that. Not only does the individual who wrote in rightly point out, it labels somebody, it's like a chemical thing. You can't help but being a narcissist. Well, that's not hopeful at all, nor is it biblical. Can somebody be sinning when they look inwardly? Yes. Can someone be sinning when it seems that they really don't think a lot about others? Yes. But I use Bible language. That would be called selfish. And then I would simply avoid the medicinal language, the therapeutic psychologized language that we use today. Because today's definition is pretty much everybody is a narcissist. And if you don't think that's true, go to YouTube and just search for narcissist. I'm pretty sure we talked about this, friend, a number of months ago. Everybody's a narcissist. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
Jimmy, did you buy that shirt that you're wearing?
I believe so.
Narcissist. That's what it's come down to. So we just want to stay away from that and use biblical language like sin. Okay. Hey, you're being selfish. You're being, you know, you're not putting, Jesus commands us to put others before you. You're not doing that. It doesn't mean you never take care of yourself. It means that we want to be like our Savior, who didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. That's our model. So we want to be using biblical language, because otherwise, I'm telling you, we're all narcissists. You got the AI definition?
A pervasive pattern of grandiosity in fantasy or behavior, a need for admiration, or is that right? Admiration and a lack of empathy beginning by early adulthood and present in a variety of contexts.
Yeah, that is so vague. A pervasive. What are we talking about? 2 thoughts a week, 7 thoughts a day. Who gets to make this decision? It is, furthermore, not only does it label people with psychologized lingo, making it sound like they're helpless and hopeless. Furthermore, it just, it's so undiagnosable. Who sets the rules for these things and makes that what is pervasive? And it misses the mark. If somebody that you would, the world would call narcissistic, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they are too inward focused. That they, you know, it's like you tell a story and they can't wait to jump in and tell their story. Oh, okay. Well, that's called sanctification and maturation and learning how to put others before self. In other words, when you hear a word, whether it's narcissism, these days when you hear PTSD, I reject the label PTSD. I do not reject that people experience something from traumatic events, but I do not believe that that psychologized term is accurate or helpful. And especially with PTSD, oh, you've got that. So you went to serve your nation. You saw something horrific. You've got a moral wound. You feel bad for longer than 2 weeks, or you still have nightmares from it. You've got a mental illness. Oh, man. To me, that's just downright mean. Reject psychologized language. Exchange it for biblical. You will find it is not only more accurate, it is way more helpful. 877-282-2337. And don't forget, you can send stuff via the email. You know, that antiquated form of message delivery. Idea@wretched.org.
This is a text from John. Todd, I believe that the office of elder and pastor should be held by a man. But what are your thoughts on a female officiating a wedding? Are there clear examples in the Bible?
Well, we don't have any wedding officiating going on. It was probably very similar, at least in Jewish context and probably early church, to the covenants that we see cut in the Old Testament, specifically where the details are pretty replete, the covenant between David and Jonathan. And really, so you see it a little bit with God's cutting of the covenant with Abraham, but I think in more detail with David and Jonathan's covenant. And so we don't see any more than that. So I can't point to you and say, oh, it was only men who officiated weddings, but I'm pretty certain it was. Because that was not just the culture, but that was just leadership in spiritual matters. It's not just a New Testament proclamation. It's Old Testament too. God making the decision for us. Who's going to play what role determined that the man is to be the spiritual leader, home and at church. Now, the question is, what is that wedding ceremony? I think that I might be willing to say this, and please let me take it back if you bombard me with texts and emails. If a woman, she's a judge, she officiates a non-religious marriage, which I believe God will actually look at and affirm, could she do that? I think so. Leading a religious Christian ceremony, I would say no. That's reserved for men, because we're the patriarchs, or something like that on a YouTube video I saw. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.